Let's call the village board meeting to order. Apologize for late getting this going. We had a previous meeting that went way long. I think we probably overbooked ourselves. We started early and we ended late. But in any event, roll call for those present.
Ventrini?
Here.
Pollock?
Here.
Anastasio?
Here.
Batia?
Here.
Washburn?
Here.
Karas?
Here.
DeGroot?
He's here. The next item is Pledge of Allegiance. Please join us.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first on the agenda is a presentation from the tourism group. 2026 Tourism Review.
We have our own trolls. I remember having these when we were kids.
Let the clerk know that the tourism people are bribing the board here. There's an ask here somewhere.
There you go. Can I get one no hair?
You mean we can be bought by this troll? That's how cheap we are.
Indecent.
That is the world's smallest troll.
Thank you. All right, good evening, everybody. You know, this is the best time of the year to come up to the village board, present what we got going on for the summer, give you guys a little feedback of what we had for last year, kind of bring you up to date a little bit. So the big one that we've all been waiting for, you know, we owe you to you, the lineup this year for our concert series, the dates have been set. So, but we gotta let you know who's playing this year. So June 16th, Jay Mathis is a little bit of country for you. July 7th is gonna be Dirty Boogie, kind of a cover band for all sorts of stuff. July 28th, Five Card Stud, they're returning from our first concert that we had this year to come and join us. And then August 18th, Trip and Billy's is a Dave Matthews tribute band. We anticipate probably some good crowds of those, so we hope to see everybody out there for these. Turning out to be quite the events. Let's hope for nice weather. President DeGroot, I have to say that I did wash my motorcycle yesterday, so I do apologize for the rain. So,
makes perfect sense.
It does, doesn't it, today? Okay. So, and then obviously, we're bringing Bluegrass concert back again, June 20th. That's a Saturday. Last year was by far the hottest day of the year that we decided to have a concert. We learned from that. We're going to look at some different things in there, and we're hoping we're kind of resetting everything with Bluegrass this year, and we'll go from there. The last one that we have for the summer is Chalk to Walk. Again, that's our sidewalk chalk event. That's going to be August 22nd. Looking to kind of start building our art aspect of things coming up. So a couple of things that we've started been doing this year, we will be doing a marketing. We are working with a marketing firm to start marketing strategies within the village of Mount Pleasant starting next month. So we have hired a firm that's gonna start walking us through that strategies to start not only marketing tourism, but also the village of Mount Pleasant. We've also went into a analytics software that we got a license for this year that's helping us kind of develop where people are coming from, what our numbers are looking at, like that to our concerts and stuff like that. To give you an example, we can start pulling some of this data to kind of give us numbers for our concerts. Giving you, for example, Dancing Queen, our last concert last year, we took at the 7 p.m. mark. This data is being collected by cell phone data that is within the geofence of the park. We had about 2,400 people.
Wow.
So, you know, our concerts are starting to get there. We're seeing at least 1,000 to 1,200 people on average to our concerts this past year. So we're hoping that those numbers stay going as what they have. Some of the other software that this is giving us is also breaking down, and we just pulled some of this data today for some of our tourism reports and stuff that will be presented to the commission coming up. But it's breaking down a little bit of what we're seeing from like visitor spending and stuff like that for 2025. It broke it down into two categories for people that were visiting us, physically going into our businesses and visiting us at about roughly about 50 miles or so. And then there was the visitor from 150 miles plus. So for a visitor coming in about 50 miles or so, we're looking at that kind of spending at about $40.6 million that's coming back into the village, either through restaurants or stuff like that. For people a little bit over 150 was $24.2 million. Give you an example from last year, that was for 2025. 2024 saw about $32.5 million coming back into our community. So what a great segue that comes into to the next thing that we discussed here in COW earlier, okay? So as we explained to you earlier, we had the opportunity and seized it to commission the artist Thomas Dambo to do one of his renderings of a troll in the village of Mount Pleasant. So to kind of give you a little bit of the back history of it, this idea wasn't mine. It was from some wonderful people that is in our community. And I wanted to highlight them because it shows the importance of what our community does to bring forth to us. Now, there's a little bit of a bias in it, I will say, but you have these wonderful people in our community in our seats tonight. My parents, Tom and Bonnie, brought this idea and said, hey, I think this is something Mount Pleasant needs. I said, yeah, let me take a look at it. And then my wife came and said, hey, I think we need to have this. I said, you're right. And then I received a wonderful email from Bobby Schmidt, who's a friend of ours and sits on our police and fire commission, says, hey, right after Wauwatosa showcased there, says, hey, I think this is great for Mount Pleasant. So, well, you can't say no to your mom and dad, right? Let alone your wife and your friends. So let's do a little research into it. So October, we went up to Wauwatosa. Wauwatosa currently has one of the trolls up there, Mama Rosa. Highly encourage you guys to go up. They have a beautiful park that they developed in and around in there. Met with their tourism people in October. We did a site visit. And as we explained earlier, all of the funds that they used for that project for the troll itself was tourism funds. The park development was on their plans to utilize their tax base to develop this thing. So after we went to Wauwatosa, we kind of looked and said, okay, what is your impact? What are those numbers that you're looking at that you're seeing? At that time, they were still getting a little bit more data, but she was able to provide the data, which we provided you earlier, that from May 28th of 2025 until the end of March of this year, they had 192,000 people that visited that park from 48 different states, including DC, with an impact financially into the community of roughly $13.4 million. So, you know, we kind of looked and said, I think we can do that. So we brought it to the Tourism Commission. Tourism Commission said, hey, this is a great idea. Let's do it. We allocated the funds that we have for Tourism Commission that we have generated through the room tax over the years, and we did have some in the reserve or in our funds that we were able to utilize that. So we presented, after the commission said, yes, we want to allocate those funds to it, I worked with our fabulous team in communications that developed a presentation to the artist Thomas Dambo to highlight the village of Mount Pleasant. Now, Sean Ryan, he's in here somewhere, Lisa Oley, she's unfortunately not here tonight, and us sat down and developed what Mount Pleasant is, what it looks like, what our park system is, what is our community all about, and with them and their assistance, and we couldn't have done it without them, we submitted our application, and they loved the concept, loved our community, and said, we're coming. So with that being said, we are now on the verge of bringing in a Thomas Dambo troll that we can pretty much guarantee will have an impact within not only Mount Pleasant, but within Racine County that I think will be presently surprised. There's currently one in Wauwatosa, which is will be the second one in Wisconsin. There is several up in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. And then we are actually making a site visit on Thursday down to Clinton, Iowa, where they have three that are being finished as we speak. We've spoken to both of those communities of the impact that they had Detroit Lakes, where they didn't keep as good records of their anticipated crowds, but they were also looking at well over 100,000 people visiting within probably their first year to that. And then we'll meet with the people in Clinton on Thursday to talk a little bit more. This is Mount Pleasant's event. This is happening in Mount Pleasant, but this is going to be Racine County. Our goal on this is to make sure that everybody's included, because we're going to need supplies. We're going to need reclaimed wood. We're going to need volunteers. This is going to be a project to who knows what is going to bring. But once everything gets approved, we will be getting more information out to the trustees here, so you have an understanding of what kind of materials that we will be looking for. But it'll be reclaimed wood, anything left over, building supplies, stuff like that. We'll be working with more of them to get that taken care of. So we got a busy year ahead of us. I think this is going to be really an impact that we have making, again, Mount Pleasant a destination for not only day trippers, but for people coming in, you know, outside of here. The aspect of Thomas Danville, the influences that he has on the recyclable aspects of nature and all that stuff is unbelievable. I highly, if you're on Facebook, please look for some of their Facebook pages. We have people that are in the audience today. Former interim chief Knitter has taken his family and gone through several places throughout the country. People travel to do this. People travel to come into these communities to see this. So it will not be unusual for us to see people from probably all over the world coming into our community and also visiting Wauwatosa. This will be a good partnership with Wauwatosa, because if you're going to come to Wauwatosa, you're going to come to Mount Pleasant. If you go to Mount Pleasant, you're going to go to Wauwatosa. So it's on the consent agenda tonight. We're looking forward to being approved.
We have better hotels than Wauwatosa has, don't we?
We do. You know, our hotels are really starting to become top notch up here, and we're going to be filling those hotels.
Jim, go ahead.
Sure. I just want to make it clear for the record and for all the people out there that are watching. This is not from the tax base. This is a tourism commission money. So money comes from the room tax, and it's meant to be spent in a way that puts beds in heads, so you keep that going. Heads and beds, thank you. So to keep that cycle going. So as I said earlier, this is probably the first big project where I'm going, this is truly going to accomplish that. And again, it's not the taxpayer dollar, it's correct. Money that we have from the Tourism Commission. Oh, I want to say one other thing. Thomas Danville is from Denmark, right?
He is from Denmark, yes.
And so I think it's really interesting that with our Kringle history here in this area, how this ties in, because we are a Danish community. Well, we're an Italian community with some Danes in the area.
There's a lot of Danish people.
Right.
First and foremost Italian, but we have a few Danes too. That's what you meant to say. Right,
right? Exactly.
And, you know, Thomas's trolls are all over the world. His goal is to try to get one in every state in the United States. But if you get an opportunity to go to his website and take a look at the map, they are speckled throughout the entire world. So this is in essence putting Mount Pleasant on the international stage.
Go ahead, Dennis.
Can I ask a question? How does Wauwatosa know where all these people came from?
So the software, Placer AI, is a software, analytic software that we have entered into or a contract with them. What it does is it takes cell phone data that you put in like a specific location. People that are coming in will register their cell phone. Now, it's not like a Big Brother or anything. We don't know who you are. We don't know. The only thing we know is that it tracks where they're coming in from, so like their zip codes and stuff, but it's through cell phone data. So that's how they're getting that accurate. So it's not, I would say, made up. It is like physically, these are registering, showing that.
And the amount they spend is more some kind of a formula that they you know, has been figured out over time.
Yep, yeah, so we'll take, as we get closer to, like, starting to collect our data, we'll find out what the local tourism thing is. I think I did. Roughly right now, an average person is, you know, if you're coming here for the day, you could spend anywhere between $70 and $90 a day. If you're staying overnight, anywhere between $160 and $220, you know, for your stay. So what we'll do is we'll take that, you know, those numbers, find out how many people came into a specific location, then you can multiply it and get those numbers from that.
Is that geofencing?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
The kind of stuff you find in data centers.
Right. I just heard a story on the radio today, actually, about it.
Go ahead. Were you yawning or
stretching? Yes, I have a question. So if Mama Rosa is in Wauwatosa, do we get the baby or the kid, or do we have any input on who are tie-in? Because that'd be a nice natural tie-in. You're going to want to see both.
Yeah, I don't know. So the artist has, obviously, we have some input, but at the end of the day, he's the one that has those decisions. But, you know, from what I've heard, and especially speaking with his team, they're really easy to work with. And definitely look for everybody's input. But we will, when we're down there Thursday, we'll have a really one-on-one idea of what we're getting into, because we'll be able to meet with our team and the Iowa team to discuss that more.
And then is there going to be like a big event unveiling?
Well, of course. Oh,
and can you do events around it? Like, could somebody rent that space and have a party theme with that in it? Or is it only for public?
No, it's only for public. Okay. Yeah, so it would be placed within, you know, two places that we've designated with the team to be determined later on when they come in there. It is open to the public. It's not restricted. It won't be rented or anything like that.
So there's going to be no admission fee?
Nope.
Okay.
I know that there's, based on your answer to Gina's question, you know, that we have some input in it, and I know that there is a press release that's going to be coming out regarding this. But at some point in time, putting out some kind of a doodle poll, would be interesting just to get constituents' thoughts on what they might want to see in a troll.
Yeah, and I know, and that's one of the things that we'll discuss when we go down there to understand, like, their visions and stuff like that. When we went up to Wauwatosa, they walked the site, and you'll see there's a video if you go to Discover Wauwatosa. They did a video on the fact that he was walking through their DPW lot, came across old light poles that they took out, and he goes, "I want to use these, make it work." And they did. They refurbished them. They ran power to it and stuff. So, you know, he does have a vision of what he's looking for with the input of what we have around here. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
Well, we've got a lot of construction materials left over from a lot of new construction that we've had going on.
So. Yeah, believe me, every time I drive around the village, you're looking, going, "Hey, we could use that," or, you know, "We got that place there," or stuff like that. So. We'll definitely be coming up with wish lists and stuff for everybody to get involved with.
The thing that really sticks in my head is what you mentioned about 48 states, you know, have come and visited Wauwatosa. And so, you know, clearly there's a national, you know, following, and indeed international.
Correct.
So there really are people that geek out about this, and you know, will certainly visit us.
Well, and they make a pilgrimage out of it, too. You know, there's been, we've watched some of the things on Facebook that are like, "Hey, we're coming down this way. Is there any trolls nearby? Or we're hitting this one today, we're hitting that one." Talking with Minnesota, talking with Iowa, these are all plans that, you know, we want to see how we can incorporate them in all the different states of how do we market from that standpoint of, go to Iowa, go to Wisconsin, go to Minnesota. It's all in that succession. So I think this is going to be bigger than what we've ever imagined.
It's the troll trail.
The troll
trail. Instead of the bourbon trail,
correct.
It's the troll trail.
And honestly, Nancy, that's one of the things that was just coming up in the conversations. The people in Minnesota and people in Iowa are very excited to have another one coming in here. Yep.
Midwestern loop.
Yep.
So since you did say 48 states, does that mean that we haven't had any visitors from Alaska or Hawaii yet?
Not yet, but we can get there. I think that should be our goal.
Yeah, it should be.
It should. So, So that's tourism in a nutshell for this year. We appreciate everything that the, not only the commission has done with this project, and they need to be recognized too. They've been very supportive with all the tourism aspects that we brought into the Village of Mount Pleasant. I think with this and with our marketing strategy, you're gonna start seeing some, you know, more things coming through, and we appreciate the support from the Village Board and everybody too.
Thank you, Matt. Great news.
Thanks.
Okay, let's move on to public comment. Members of the public are welcome to provide comments on any matter. Please fill out a comment form and the president will recognize you. Use the microphone and state your name and address for the public record. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Can we hear from Jim Kutz? You know the drill, sir, name and address for the record.
Yes, sir. James Kutz, 6812 Green Ridge Drive, Mount Pleasant, Wisconsin. I live on a cul-de-sac. In 2019, we purchased this land, and we noticed that a cul-de-sac was in our front yard that was never on the registered deed of Mount Pleasant, decided just to take more road. I have pictures from 1965 till today, and the road has doubled itself. Now, a cul-de-sac is 50-50 from center road, both sides, correct? Not a D pattern into my front yard, which every time I try to apply for a permit to do something on my property, I have to pull off the back of my property because nobody, even the village, has no clue where the lot line is in the front from the road in easement whatsoever. Then you guys sent a bill. Well, you didn't send a bill. You came to my house in a letter with an attorney telling me that you were going to purchase the land. I said it's not for sale for $4,000. I have that paperwork. Then you decided to tell me that it was going to be taken from me under eminent domain. Well, I got an attorney involved, and then you guys decided to put the sewer project on the other side of the road, the south side of Green Ridge Drive. And then when that was done, I came back in here and asked what we can do to retrieve my front property. I was told, well, we need that cul-de-sac for the dumped garbage trucks and everybody to turn around. There's not another cul-de-sac in Mount Pleasant like I have in my front yard. I've asked since 2019 of April, nowhere. Now you guys chose to put the sewer line on the south side of the road. Here it is now 2.5 years later, and I still haven't had my front yard. I want my front yard or I will remove the asphalt that's on that property of mine that I own and I pay taxes on. You don't give me a tax credit. You did not give the other people a tax credit. I want my yard back. We need to set up some kind of meeting that we can all sit down. I can show you all the paperwork in another meeting. The last time we tried to get a meeting, you said it was sewer. It's not sewer. It's my front yard. I want it back. It's real simple.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
Anybody else signed up for public comment? Going once, going twice. Okay, with that, we can end the public comment and we can go to the consent agenda.
Mr. President, I make a motion to approve the items on the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
I hear a motion and second. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So the consent agenda is approved. So we have a public meeting, a public hearing. Public hearing for ordinance 2-2026, zoning map amendment for 3649 Lathrop Avenue, ZMA 26-01. Zoning public hearing notice, ZMA, that's the attachment, okay. Following a brief presentation by staff, I'll open the public hearing. If you wish to speak, please fill out a public hearing form, which is on a table near the entrance. Once recognized, speakers should come to the podium and identify themselves with their name and address. Please speak clearly into the microphone. Speakers must direct all discussions towards the board. I will not allow interchange between members of the audience and the petitioner. We request that you not interfere with nor interject comments while another person has the floor. This is to ensure a respectful and orderly process. Please keep all comments on the particular item before the board and at most 5 minutes. Finally, to ensure a focused and productive hearing, please turn off or mute your electronic devices. Who's speaking towards us? Robin.
Yes, it's me. You guys get stuck with me for the next few months because Sam is out on paternity leave with his new son.
Don't get a big head over it.
I definitely, you know, just I have the power. No, not really. It's more like the extra phone calls and emails is what I have.
Let's say, Robin.
Yes, let's go. All right, so for ZMA, 2601, 3649 Lathrop Avenue. This is an application to amend the zoning code from the zoning classification from RE, which is residential estate, to RL, low density residential. The applicant wishes to construct a 400 square foot outbuilding on his property, which will increase the impervious surface percentage of the property from approximately 33% to 35%. Per our code on lot and building regulations, the limit on impervious surface in the RE district is 25%. However, that limit was added to the code via ordinance in summer of 2025, so not even a full year ago. So the existing structures are legal non-conforming, so that's totally fine that this 33%. The limit in the RL zone is 50%. The master plan indicates residential for the property, and the nearby parcels in the area are both RE and RL zoning. This sort of kind of means village staff and recommend, and the plan commission also recommended to approve the ordinance 226 to the village board. It was basically, I was saying that this is a very minor kind of improvement, but unfortunately the only way to address it without seeking a variance was to request a zoning change. This would have been no problem a year ago. So they have to request a zoning change in order to do it. We're looking for ways to basically alleviate or mitigate going over that limit, such as stormwater retention, without the need to have a public hearing and zoning change for every time. So that is it. That's my presentation.
This would be the time for me to invite the public to speak. I have nobody signed up. I haven't heard anything from the clerk. Anybody here wishing to speak on this particular item that hasn't signed up? Going once, going twice. So there being, you know, nobody wishing to speak on that, I can close the public hearing. And is there a motion?
Mr. President, I make a motion to approve Ordinance 2-2026 for a zoning map amendment at 3649 Lathrop Avenue as presented.
Second.
So the motioner and the seconder, since you both sit on the plan commission, your thoughts?
Let's see.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think this is very typical of some older lots in the community that were larger to begin with. And so when we redid the zoning code, they ended up with that RE designation on them, where they're in neighborhoods that are really, if they were to be rezoned as a whole today, we'd look at the RL. When you look at the site plan, obviously they enjoy their property. They have sheds and their gardeners and the pool and so forth. So they wanted to add an outbuilding, which seemed reasonable, and staff was able to use our code to come up with a way that was amenable. I think the big thing is, the big question we had, and Robin answered it, was they're adding more impervious surface. So in an existing neighborhood, we always have to be careful that they're not now sending more stormwater off-site than would be reasonable or that the neighborhood can take. But all in all, the zoning's appropriate for the neighborhood as well as for their future use. And that's all I have.
How big is the outbuilding that they want to put on?
400 square feet.
400 square feet, right?
Yeah, it's basically the size of a two-car garage, but it is not, it doesn't have any additional driveway access or anything like that. So it's for, you know, lawn tools, stuff like that, not cars.
So it's on the order of a pole barn?
Yeah, probably a little bit smaller than the average pole barn in Mount Pleasant that's being constructed these days, but yeah.
Ram, did you have anything?
No, again, my colleague Washburn, she said everything that we discussed at the Planning Commission, and we're good with that.
There actually was a comment from one of the commissioners that did the proposed garage, because they're calling it a garage. It's really an outbuilding in my eyes in terms of the way it's going to be used. Should it have its own driveway or be consolidated? And the intent of the map, the site plan they showed us, was for no additional driveway access at all to the building. So it's a storage building. They have a pool. They probably have chairs and things that need to come inside. And the current garage they have is a bit small.
Okay. So in the matter then of ordinance 2-2026, ZMA 26-01, roll call, please.
Ventrini?
Aye.
Pollock?
Aye.
Anastasio?
Aye.
Bhatia?
Aye.
Washburn?
Aye.
Karras?
Aye.
DeGroot?
Aye. So that motion carries. We have nothing else.
Was that covering both of the items?
What's that? Yeah.
Was that two different things?
No. Well, it was the ordinance approval and the zoning map approval. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Waiting for a motion.
We just love it here so much. Why would we ever want to move to adjourn?
To adjourn. Move to adjourn.
Okay, so we have a move to adjourn and a second.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We stand adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody.